From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me again around God's precious Word. Here are some announcements before we come to our second study of the Saviour's Prayer in John chapter 17. Please remember the mission in the tent at Uher. Meetings are at 8 o'clock on weeknights and 7 o'clock on the Lord's Day, and the evangelist is the Reverend Thomas Martin of Lisburn. Then please remember our program tonight at 9 o'clock. We are studying the subject, Conversion, the Dawn of a Heavenly Morning in the Soul. This will be the third part of that sermon. So please join me tonight at 9 o'clock. Now here is a hymn, after which we will turn to John chapter 17 and the verses 6 through to 10. The hymn is entitled, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful.
Come to the second study of what is correctly called the Lord's Prayer. We're looking at John chapter 17 and the verses 6 through to 10. Here the Saviour is praying for his people before his Father. In these verses, the Saviour underscores the main purpose of his ministry. He says to his Father in prayer, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Verse 8. These are words that all who value the Bible and who claim an interest in God and his kingdom should study. The Saviour here first of all shows us that the Bible, God's word, is at the very heart of Christianity. Christ came not to institute rituals and ceremonies, but to give the word of God to man. The Saviour, at the beginning of his ministry, indicated the centrality of God's word to his work. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew 5, verse 17. The word fulfill means to fill up to fullness, to complete. The Saviour had come to take up, as it were, where the prophets had left off, and complete the revelation of God unto men. Any aspect of a person's religion that is not strictly founded and built upon the Word of God is false and unacceptable to God. No matter how well-intentioned a person may be in what they do and say, the worship they offer to God and their views of God, if their opinions and actions are not based upon the Word of God, will not be accepted by God, but rather rejected. This is a difficult truth to get across to men and women, but it will be seen one day to be absolutely true. The Saviour warned of this in the well-known parable of the builder who built a house on a foundation of sand. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Matthew chapter 7, and the verses 26 to 27. How many are building on the sand of church rituals and church ceremonies rather than on the solid rock of God's Word? The second thing we should note in these words of Christ in John 17 is what those for whom Christ is praying did with the Word of God he gave them. There are three words employed by the Saviour which indicate how the disciples reacted to the message of Christ. The first word is kept in verse 6. They have kept thy word. What a word this is. It carries the meaning of guarding, to attend to most carefully. It's a word that is employed to describe the actions of those gathered around the cross of Christ. And sitting down, they watched him there. They kept him in their sight. Matthew chapter 27, verse 36. How carefully would these watchers have noted every action of Christ? Even so, are Christians required to observe God's word? When the Savior commissioned his apostles, he used these words, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Matthew chapter 28, and the verses 19 and 20. The word "observe" here is the same Greek word as is translated "kept" in John 17, verse 6. That is what God wants everyone who hears his word to do. Keep it. Hold on to it. Observe it. Take note of it. The second word used by the Savior to describe the disciples' response to his teaching is the word "received," found in verse 8. "For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." Now that word means to catch with the hand, to take to yourself. The disciples seized upon the words of Christ and made them their own. This word appears in the passage about corrupt guards which took the bribe given them by the Jewish leaders and who agreed to tell lies about the resurrection of Christ. The verse reads, "So they took the money and did as they were taught." And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Matthew chapter 28, the verse 15. They took the money, holding on to it with a greedy man's grip. Even so, the disciples valued the words of Christ and so took tight hold upon them. The final word the Savior uses of the disciples' reaction to his preaching is the word "believed." It's found in the verse 9. "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." The word means to receive as true and place your confidence in it. That is what faith is. Children attending our children's meeting are taught the little chorus that says, "Faith is just believing what God says to be true." That was the disciples' reaction to Christ's word. They said, "It's true." Is that your reaction? Have you kept? Have you received? And have you believed the message of the gospel as proclaimed by Christ? or is your hope placed in the rituals and ceremonies of religion of which you have no idea whence they came? Are you building on the sand or on the rock of God's everlasting word? The third thing to be noted in this passage was the result in the disciples of believing Christ's words. Twice the Saviour states that as a result of believing his message, the disciples had been enlightened. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verses 7 and 8. The word known means to understand. As a result of believing the message of Christ, the disciples understood who Jesus was, even the Messiah, sent by the Father. Enlightenment and understanding comes after believing God's word. In John chapter 6, the verses 68 and 69, Peter is recorded as saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Knowledge, enlightenment, follows faith. The fourth and final thing that we should note is that Christ refers again to who it is for whom he is praying. I mentioned last week that Christ was not praying for everyone. He makes that very clear in verse 9. If you have a quarrel with this truth, your quarrel is with Christ. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Those for whom Christ is praying are those given him by the Father. Verse 2. Those to whom he has made known his Father's name. Verse 6. Those who had received and believed the words he taught them. Verses 6 to 8. Mankind likes to think that all men are the children of God. But you cannot read this portion without concluding that God does not consider all men in the same light. Christ plainly here indicates that he is not praying for the world generally. Listen again to verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. If you would know that you are amongst those that Christ is praying for, even now, before his Father's throne, then do as did the disciples. Count the gospel message as something precious to be guarded, something vital to be seized and held onto, something true and blessed to be believed and trusted. If that is your response to the gospel, then you are amongst those for whom Christ is praying. You are amongst the elect. May God help you to seize upon his word today and believe it with all your heart. I look forward to you joining me again tonight at 9 o'clock. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here, and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.